Behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in embrace and remembrance of his mercy. And he has spoken to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. Now the time for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son, and her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord has shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child. And they would have called him Zechariah after his father. But his mother answered, "No, he shall be called John." And they said to her, "None of your relatives is called by this name." And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all their neighbors, and all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him." And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people and the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. Will you bow with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, you are the author of truth, and your word is the truth and the life. We thank you for your plan that is from the beginning of time and will be till the end. And we thank you that we know that it will be successful. And we thank you for your spirit who convicts us, who teaches, who bears witness, and guides us toward your glory. In your name we pray. Amen. Thanks,
brother. So, Nick is a very, very faithful friend. I asked him to do something, and he does it. And I'm thankful for Nick. It's been one of my closest friendships here in Sterling. And coming here, he and his wife, Sarah, joined us here after our training in residency in Wichita, Kansas. And now I practice as a physician at the hospital here. And Nick's wife, Sarah, is in practice with me there. Nick's a PT. And we've been... Yeah, children dismissed if you guys are heading out. We've been encouraged by the church here and been super thankful for the history with the church here. And it's fun to see how Nick and Sarah are jumping right in. And Nick's actually going to sing two songs with me and Rick and Lulu after as well. So I just asked him to do that and he said yes too. So why are you stuck with me this Sunday and not someone who you know? Over the years, God has shown his mighty work in my life, and I've seen how growing up in a Christian home, About 20 years ago, I did not have salvation as my own, and I saw the need for salvation, and by God's mercy, right after graduating from high school at a summer camp on my own family's farm, turned to the Lord and was covered by the blood of Christ, and then showed up here in Sterling as a baby Christian on weekends with another guy named Mike Lees, who remembers that era. Donna does. A few of you are still here. So what I'm going to try to accomplish right now is to kind of tell you what's going to happen. And I was like panicking when I saw that we were going to do communion today because I'm already going to be short on time, but we are like way ahead, so this is awesome. What I'm going to try to do is I'm going to share to you from the Word of God just how God has moved over the last 20 years in my own life to give me a heart for the nations and ultimately for His glory. And then I'm going to share specifically about that ministry after time in the Word. And then we're going to do two new songs, Nick and I and the others, as we've mentioned. And those songs are hopefully going to solidify in glory and praise to God, kind of the things that we're going to talk about today. So let's just pray together now, and then by God's mercy, hopefully we will get through this together. So let's pray. God, we do thank you so much for your awesome and glorious name. We thank you that your name is mentioned in the superlative as holy, holy, holy. I thank you for the men here in Sterling that have helped to teach me as a new believer. And Lord, I'm thankful that Philippians 1:6 is true, that you continue to work out in our own lives our salvation. And growing in the richness and understanding of your gospel is such a blessing. We think about Isaiah 55 that talks about drinking deep and eating of the feast and the good beverage that we cannot pay for on our own, and we enjoy that in Jesus Christ. I just pray that you would help me by your Spirit to honor you and glorify your name through the sharing of your word. And I just pray that you would be with our church family and that we would continue in these things, Lord. In your precious and holy name I pray. Amen. This is the surprise that we're going to get to. So don't be too confused. I'll get to it. So, excuse me. 2 Corinthians 3:18 speaks of the unveiled face beholding the glory of the Lord, being transformed into the image of God, and His glory going forth in what is called the church of God. And when we read about the unveiled glory of God going forth, we're immediately reminded of what story? Moses. And we see in the story, and by God's incredible providence, our men's group this Friday went through this, and it's awesome how this works together. Moses says, "Let me see your glory." And God covers him in the cleft of the rock, and as he's passing by, just the very tail of him, he gets a glimpse of that. And when Moses comes down the mountain, the people are terrified, because what's happening? He's radiating God's glory as this very temporary, just little glimpse at God, and so he has to veil his face. But now as the church of God, we're called to be unveiled, and we're called to be the light of God, and to show the nations he's mighty and he's done great things. And I believe our church has done that. And I mentioned earlier that 20 years ago, I first came here as a new believer. Jake Erisman was younger than I am now. I was just talking to Julie. Their oldest children are 28 and 26 now, right, Julie? And I believe Jake was 34 or 35, which is, sorry, Jake, I just gave it away if he's here. But he was indestructible. He was like this awesome young guy. He's still pretty indestructible, but his children have grown up, and somehow I'm older than he was at the time. And we used to think that 20 years was a really long time, but it's not that long. And I used to live in the basement of Donna and Hugh and Marion's house, and they were very kind to me. Marion, if you guys knew her, she was a very good host. She taught me how to fold fitted sheets. Couldn't do that before. And she actually tried to teach me how to iron, but I still can't do that. And the family has just been sweet, sweet to me. And Brian, her brother, and Donna, they came up to our camp in Canada for years, and that's the ministry that I was saved through. So I'm thankful for that. And I think about other people here, like if any of you guys know who Pat and Beth were, hands up for that. Every day when we were at the other building, when I was a new member coming to church on Sundays, she would tap me on the shoulder and she would always want to give you a hug and say how good it was to stand beside her to sing together, and I still remember her for that. The Van Schoonevelds, Mike and I would come, and we would stay in their basement sometimes too, and Nancy would always have some food for us, and we did unbelievable things with their home. And then for a short time before I was married, I actually lived there more permanently. I painted their house, and Nancy even paid me for it. It wasn't worth pay, but I was thankful for that too. And then Terry and Sherry, I was this guy that just came in from Canada as an older guy, kind of interested in their daughter who was younger than me, and they didn't chase me off, although they used wisdom in giving us counsel. Bryce was 9 years old at the time. Now he's an architect. Who can believe that? And Nana and Poppy were kind of still in their prime at the time. So we just think about all these things in the last 20 years. Bob and Vicky DeVita, Bob would have us out at their place, and I remember destroying his house. A bunch of us guys in the youth group knocked over, I bet you, 200 tapes, like cassette tapes. Were you there, Donna? I think you were. Andrew Plett was here at the time, too. And they just laughed, and we set them up, and Ron and Sylvia were still serving, and we were at the old building. Dan and Marcia would have us over with the college group at their house, and I know they're still faithful in those things, and Dan helped me with my calculus back in the day, and talked about football, and I distinctly remember a conversation with Dr. Van as I wrap up my memories. I had an opportunity to go play college football, and I was going to go do that, and Craig says to me, oh, I thought that you were going to marry Sarah, but I guess not. I don't know if he remembers that, but I distinctly remember that. So I didn't go play football. I was like, oh, that's an interesting observation. And 15 years ago, this building, Ruth, I think it was... we were looking at using another facility, and it was going to be tight. And I remember, like, maybe the week of our wedding, they were putting the grass in, getting the plants, and she's like, we'll get it done. You'll have it here. So we were one of the first weddings in this building, and we're super thankful for that. And I apologize to the young men of Sterling because I snatched, like, the most beautiful, God-fearing woman from this group here. And sorry, guys, it's too late. So... this congregation has been the image of God, and through this congregation, others as well, through other churches, I've been able to see growth in the Spirit of God through the Word of God by good teaching and love from the church. And as we look at that, we think about John 6, when the little boy comes in. What does the little boy do for the 5,000? He has a few little fish and a couple loaves. And God takes that little bit and he can turn it into so much. And I think about that in my life. And when we're thinking about the Magnificat, where Mary, she magnifies the Lord and talks about her humble estate. And I think about my humble estate, my humble beginnings. And still in my humility, I come to the Lord and I thank God for thinking of me. And it just reminds me of how great God is in thinking of myself. And 20 years goes fast. But when we look at 20 years, and we think about 2,000 years ago, and we are quickly reminded how quick 2,000 years has gone for some, especially in light of the Word of God, and we look at Matthew 28, 18 through 20 is what? The Great Commission, and everybody's heard the Great Commission, and that was 2,000 years ago, roughly, and we see that the Word says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And I am with you always to the end of the age. And we just cling to that. And we see in here this idea about going to the nations. And you think, I've heard that before in this setting, in the Great Commission. Jesus said to do it. But I've never, until the recent years of my Christian life, realized how that was part of God's core plan from the beginning, was to have his glory be going out to all the earth and saving many, as blood would sprinkle over many. And when we go into the Magnificat, we think of this story as being the Christmas time Luke story. Everyone talks about it, but it's part of this fulfillment. But it's not a new idea either. Luke 1:46 through 80 that Nick read talks in verse 46 about my soul magnifies the Lord, and we see this theme of the glory of God being central to the church and us as believers. And in verse 49, he who is mighty has done great things, and we're going to sing a song about that and God's might and what it's done for us, but ultimately what it's done through Christ for us. And in verse 51, he's shown strength with his arm. And when I was reading that, I'm a huge Isaiah fan. All the guys in our Bible study will know that I kind of nerd out on Isaiah. But Isaiah 52:10 is kind of the reference verse here. It's talking about God burying his arm before the eye of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. In verse 55, Abraham and to his offspring forever. So that's Mary's prayer of worship to God that happens, and it looks back. We're looking back 2,000 years, but she's looking back 2,000 years. So all of a sudden, we're thinking to ourselves, well, 20 years doesn't seem like a long time to me, but then here, 2,000 years, and then another 2,000 years has gone by. And that's the irony of the situation as we look back at the Great Commission. Mary and Zechariah were looking back at the promises to their father Abraham. And the reason I have this rope up here